Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
So I'm happy to start it now. But there's members of this team who aren't ready yet.
Come on now.
Only means one thing, ladies and gentlemen.
Rambo!
Stop now. Is he saying Rambo or Rambo?
I don't know.
But, I don't think he knows.
But I'm saying welcome to the Football Ramble. And I'm joined by the usual lot. Pete's here.
Hello.
Lukey's here.
Ramble!
Come on. We're better than that.
All right.
And James or
Ramble,
Jim.
We're not.
Oh, no. And that's James or Jim. Who's your favourite ponytailed player of all time? Since time began, your favourite one?
Since early man discovered that with an elastic band or his sister's hair bubble, he can actually put his hair into a much more convenient way. Place.
I used to have long hair, never did that.
No, me neither.
Why didn't I do that?
I had long hair on the ponytail once.
Back to the question.
Just once.
Yeah. No, that's my favourite player, me.
Well, no one else was going to say
Pete
that.
Pete was really enthusiastic. Why don't you ask him? He was really
Go on, Pete, who have you got?
My favourite footballer of my developmental football watching days.
Which you're still in, incidentally.
Roberto Baggio.
Oh,
it's not even a
ponytail.
It looks like a... I don't know what it looks like. It's a weird little tail.
Pigtails count.
Yeah, Roberto Baggio's great.
That's a fantastic show.
The Divine Ponytail.
Yeah. It's a beauty.
Simple as that. It speaks volumes, doesn't it?
I'm going to go with David Seaman, because obviously, as an Arsenal fan, he's a bit of a legend, and he, you know, inspired a generation of kids to walk around with Seaman written on their backs.
Yeah.
So.
That can only be
written,
a bad thing.
Written on their backs.
You can write with it.
His hair did look like... you know, the horse's tail.
He broke the golden rule, which was ponytail or tash. Not both.
Yeah.
Not both.
And he did it late on in his career, didn't he?
Yeah.
It seemed to come out of nowhere. You know what I mean? That's a young man's game, the ponytail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He always had a good head of hair, but he took
he
a lot of criticism,
off, really,
didn't
wasn't he, by the end?
He took a lot of criticism. You know, he stood by that ponytail.
He got it chopped off late doors, didn't he? Like, quite late on, he got it chopped off.
Yeah. Luke, who's yours?
I'll probably go for, because I can't think of anyone else on the spot, I'll go for Darren Peacock.
Darren Peacock.
I don't know why.
Taller than you think.
Yeah.
Darren Peacock.
And I think he's tall.
Yeah. So you don't even know how tall I think he is, so how do you know?
Well, I'm going to go abroad right now.
Because I'm sick of your mother.
Well, because Baggio's an Englishman, isn't he?
I was going to go for Tony Meola.
I was going to say Meola, but I wasn't sure if I got the name right. I thought I was getting him confused with Roy Weggerly.
Well, if you said Roy Weggerly, you got it wrong, because you never had a ponytail.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Is any excuse to say the words Roy Weggerly is
taken,
valid, though?
It's accepted and encouraged.
Mm. Emmanuel Petit.
Obvious one.
Excellent. In fact, I get the points this week for that.
Did Kobe Jones have a nice ponytail?
No, he had dreadlocks.
Oh, did he?
If you put dreadlocks in a ponytail like Henrik Larsson did, does that count?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Hang on a minute.
I'm ruling on this. Yes, it does.
Right, he's not ruling, but it does count.
Did Lalas ever have a ponytail as well?
He must
that
have
would
done.
Have been...
He why is it of American footballers and ponytails?
Yeah, I mean, Henrik Larsson, you know, he's an American... No, he's not.
Move on.
Tricked me. Andrei Arshavin's come up trumps recently.
Yes, he has.
Fire away.
He's not bad, is he?
Fire away.
Oi, not bad, this Russian, is he?
That's not your job. You say it when they go far away. Give an opinion.
Brilliant. Wow.
In depth.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, he had 6 goals and 6 assists in 6 games or something. Is that right?
Well, he only had 4 shots in the Liverpool game, didn't he?
That's all you need. They all go in, it doesn't matter.
I mean, absolutely, yeah. They were fantastic goals as well. I know there was a lot of sort of defensive errors in that one, but that second goal was an absolute screamer.
That's a real Harry Redknapp thing to say. Oh, yeah, well, he only had 4 shots the whole game.
Yeah, he's rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored all of them, though, Harry.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, that was one of the worst full-back performances by Liverpool's full-backs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not taking anything away from him, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
His second goal, especially, was an absolute dinger.
Yeah, Arsenal's defence was all over the shop in that game. It was ridiculous. But, oh, yeah, he's really, really exciting prospects. I'm looking forward to sort of seeing what kind of impact he has in the Champions League next season, because he's lifted Arsenal massively. He's pretty much everything positive they've done in the league, obviously, has been through him, and it's baffling as to why he didn't play against Chelsea for longer than about 15 minutes. Really odd decision.
That is an absolutely outrageous decision.
Yeah,
I know
to rest him for.
I know that Wenger didn't know that he was going to be in such good form, but, I mean, he's better than Diaby.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that in my mind.
He had been rested for a week or so, hadn't he? Pretty sure he'd been rested for a week before. He didn't have a game for a week before that. So I don't understand the rationale behind this. Yeah.
Resting Alex Song was a strange one as well, because he'd been brilliant against Villarreal. And a player like Alex Song, who, you know, is trying to establish himself in the team, he needs a lot of games. Those hungry players that are sort of just establishing themselves are not the ones that need to be rested. They're the ones that are, you know, trying to take every opportunity that comes their way. I thought that was a strange decision as well.
I think you're right.
I think I'd just like to go back to Arsenal and say he is a very, very likeable bloke. He's the type of guy you think, I'm glad you're playing well and playing football at such a high level.
You tiny, likeable man.
He believes a miracle saved his life because he was hit by a car when he was a young lad. But he went on to say in the article, I don't know if this...
That would piss off the emergency services, wouldn't it? Yeah. Oh, thanks.
He said, if I had it in my power to introduce a ban on women driving cars and to withdraw their licences, I would do it without thinking twice.
In my opinion,
a woman and a man are two absolutely different creatures.
So, throwing the baby out with the bathroom.
What was the miracle then?
Yeah.
He hasn't been slapped, probably.
Yeah.
But he studied for a fashion diploma, and he has his own range of women's clothes. And he went on to say,
dress them, but he won't drive with them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Glorious.
That's how he operates.
How can I develop this piece of clothing to stop them using their hands?
Well, he said, I like tall, slim girls with narrow thighs and tiny bums. If a girl is like this, I do not pay attention to her breast.
Is this a private conversation you've had with Andrei Arshavin? Why would these questions come up?
It sounds like something the head of FIFA talks about.
Yeah. Step Blatter. I'm not sure if Jimbo feels comfortable with this, and if he does, fine, but this is encroaching the Jim's funny stories territory, this is.
I saw you didn't have it in there.
No.
This is old. Okay, fine.
I just thought what we were talking about. It's a shame that Arshavin, he can't play in the Champions League through what I think is a ridiculous rule, which is a cup-tied rule. Now, I can understand if a player, for example, he's played maybe in the quarter-final and he can't, and he's signed for another team and maybe can't play in the semi-final. If there's a kind of a one-round later kind of rule or something, or even if he's played in the knockout stages, that rules him out there.
But the transfer window takes care of that anyway, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Surely it does, but... I mean, he played in the group stages. St. Petersburg, Zenit went out ages ago. It just is no bearing on what...
situation. The situation could arise that the player then meets his former club, like, later on. It's just...
That's why you buy a player, though,
exactly.
Isn't it?
He then becomes one club's player and ceases to become...
I think it's one of those really sort of ineffective rules that's meant to stop clubs just sort of making a monopoly. It's just a proper sort of, like, too little, too late kind of ruling.
But I think it's a very old rule.
Before the transfer window, but
I think it was introduced years ago when teams would maybe be on a cup run and think, all right, we're coming up semi-final, let's get someone in to help us win the cup or something, you know. I think it's a very, very outdated rule, and an extreme example of that is when Morientes signed for Liverpool at the start of the season, and a few seasons ago, of course, and he played 20 minutes in a preliminary match for Real Madrid, and that ruled him out the whole tournament.
Ridiculous.
I've got to say, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of this sort of putting in sort of conditions and factors after you sell a player. If we've seen it happen in the Premier League. A club will sign a player, and then for the next season they can't play against that team. Well, hang on a minute. No. You're selling the player.
Isn't that just on the loan?
Yeah, but you do things where they loan as a view to a permanent deal and stuff like that. Mm. You know, even if it is a loan, I don't care. You don't loan them out then. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's as simple as that, yeah.
And the cultural rule...
Do you remember when Newcastle forgot to do it and Lamanu Lualua scored against them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was for Pompey, yeah.
Bobby Robson went mental. He was going, he's hurt us today. He's hurt our team. It's like, well, you've loaned him out, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You can't miss it on purpose.
That's like loaning property to someone and going round there and going, you're still here, are you? You know, of course, that's the way it works.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's probably a rule. We'd have to check it out for definite, but I assume it's a rule that's been in place before the transfer window. And certainly in Al-Sharvin's case and the Morientes case, as you rightly point out, it's ridiculous. You know?
I am actually on loan to 606 next week, and I'll be slating this podcast something chronic. So.
Well, you'll be hearing from our agent then.
Everton chief executive Robert Elston is unhappy with the allocated tickets they've received for the FA Cup final. They've just got over 25,000, Everton do, and Chelsea have got a similar amount. And they sold over 32,000 for the semi-final. And so that is, I mean, it's not even 50,000 tickets. It's around about sort of 40,000 odd Chelsea and Liverpool, Chelsea and Everton have got. 90,000 is the capacity of the new Wembley Stadium. And Elson's added the allocation. He says this is driving ticketless supporters to the touts.
Yeah.
And FA are trying to get rid of the touts and so on. And
well, they're not trying to get rid of the touts, so are they? They don't give a shit about that.
No, well, why would they?
It all points to that all they care about is making money for themselves. Mm. Why were the FA Cup semi-finals at Wembley, right?
Yep.
Why is the pitch a fucking state? Mm. Right, it's because of American football and NFL games being there.
No, worse than that is when they tarmac it. It's ridiculous. What do you expect? The groundsman's even been sacked.
Yeah,
so it's not his fault.
Yeah. Why have 50,000 tickets or 40,000 tickets been given to?
Where officially do they go? Do they just go to resellers? I don't understand where.
They go to partners of sponsors. They'll go to sort of.
But that many though, 50,000. How does that even work?
Ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
I mean, it's the whole Wembley in general is a just fiasco and has been from start to finish. Just the whole idea to sort of give it to an Australian company makes me think that it was some sort of sabotage. It's like,
what's
the country that hates us the most in the sporting sense? Let's give it to them.
Mm. And I genuinely hope the FA are embarrassed. But the thing is, they don't act like they are. They carry on doing it as no one gives a shit.
They've never conducted themselves in any other way. suggest that they'd be put Stu McLaren in.
I really do think that having the semi-finals at Wembley sort of cheapens it overall as well.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, you read stuff about sort of, foreign footballers. You hear stuff from foreign fans if you ever get talking to them. And the kind of Wembley legend is not a myth. It genuinely is this really big deal on a stage. And, like, Pele sort of raves about it in his book. And there's just
along
so
with
many
Nicky
foreign
Butt,
teams have got... Yeah. Along with Nicky Butt, yeah. A lot of foreign teams have got songs about Wembley. And they're just cheapening it.
And I agree with you. And you're right, but another thing to add to that is that the semi-final between Manchester United and Everton wasn't exactly handy for the fans.
No.
It at Wembley, you know.
Absolutely. It's very well for Arsenal and Chelsea, but you're absolutely right.
On a Sunday as well.
Mm.
You know, first of all, it's 300 odd miles from where any of them live, pretty much. Oh, yeah, Man United fans are living, sorry, ha ha ha, but joke apart from that. And also, it's on a Sunday, so they get back to really late.
Yeah.
All they get is, and do you know what I'm saying? And it all ties in nicely to fans just royally getting fucked over at every opportunity. And something else I just want to mention about that is the Southampton thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you want an absolute cast iron, brilliant example of how much fans get fucked over for football in this country, is that all the fans, season ticket holders and other fans alike, raised £130,000 for Southampton recently, and every single penny of it went into the players' pockets.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
So you've got university students, low-income earners in Southampton, all donating some money towards... You know, without being sort of cliché and stereotypical about it, overpaid footballers who arguably have got them in that mess anyway on the pitch, obviously not off the pitch, but on the pitch. Yeah. And that just sums up nicely in microcosm fashion of how fucked up the game is in this country. And we talk about Villarreal giving away free tickets to people on the dole and jobless people in Spain. Yeah. As if that would ever happen at any level in this country. Yeah. Mm. You're living in a dream world if you think that's going to happen. Mm.
The chief exec of Celtic, Peter Lawwell, has come out and started talking about the old firm joining the Premier League again. Or as he refers to it, the EPL.
Yeah.
I hate that.
The EPL. That sounds like visible panty line.
Well, everyone, it should be the Barclays Premier League, so...
Yeah, give Barclays their due.
Well, no, he's got to call it that, because otherwise it's the SPL, isn't it?
Well, he's suddenly trying to make up leagues now. He's saying, I think there's a strong rationale at the moment for an EPL 2. The bottom half of the EPL at the moment is very tight.
Is he on crack?
It would appear
he's
so.
He's on something like crack.
he's saying it's a big drop. He's saying a big drop from the Premiership to the Championship. So he says, I guess they're looking for a softer landing and potentially this could deliver.
No, you've made that up.
What's that suggesting? What's a two leagues of 10?
Well, he's basically trying to make it into the SPL.
Well, he's walked into the Premier League chairman's meeting and just gone, I'm guessing you want another league. And they've all gone, no, we never said that.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's not bad, these leagues.
Stop trying to muscle in this league. You've not been invited. It's like knocking on the birthday party, door of a birthday party when you're a kid. Can I come in? No, you're not invited.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want you there.
Exactly.
You'll make V signs in the corner. We know you.
excuse me. He said, I believe the top four are looking for less games than an 18-league team.
I love this. I believe. I've just got a hunch.
Maybe this could deliver that as well.
Well, yeah. An 18 team league. What's then? There's going to be four teams left, including Celtic and Rangers. It's not much of a fucking league, is it?
But Peter Lawwell seems to have it all wrapped up.
Well, you spent a bit of time in Scotland. What do you think about it, Marcus?
Oh, I think it's a load of old nonsense.
I believe Falkirk do want to play Portsmouth. I believe
Barcelona do want me up front.
Good for them. I just think Celtic and Rangers are Scottish teams. They should play in Scotland. I mean, really, a Portsmouth or a team right down south really going to make the away trip up to Glasgow? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know, Newcastle's practice.
You're obviously assuming Portsmouth are going to be in the Premier League.
You're talking about, all right, Fulham.
Well, it's an extra hour, extra hour, 45 minutes to...
No, it's more than that, Peter.
Stop blowing his point out the water.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different country.
How do you...
you might as well put Lyon in there. You might as well put Inter in
there. Cardiff
in
there.
Cardiff, the only argument could be Cardiff, but... But you know,
Carlisle are pretty
there
close.
Is a Welsh league as well, isn't there?
That's so true. Well, if Cardiff and Swansea and Wrexham had played in the Welsh league, then it would be a bit different. But I think that this has come from Phil Gartsey, hasn't it?
Mm.
He's put forward a motion, and obviously the old firm have jumped on the back of it, seeing the pound signs, and thought, well, I'll have some of that.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But Phil Gartsey, I mean, if it's an 18 team league, is he Bolton would be a bit. That could affect them, you know. They could be in the EPL too.
Well, so is he suggesting that Rangers and Celtic are going to be in the top league? So if it's an 18-team league, that's four teams you've got to get rid of from the top league.
Well, I think that's what he's suggesting, yeah.
It doesn't warrant the paper it's written.
Why?
To be honest.
What a ridiculous suggestion.
Manchester City executive chairman. We're talking about a lot of the executive chairman.
Yeah, we've gone very corporate today.
Well, absolutely. It's about time. Gary Cook.
Woeful jib.
The man with the woeful jib.
Woeful.
He's met with Barcelona president Mr. Laporta in a bid to build relations between the two clubs. He might mention Samuel Eto'o in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That would certainly build relations. I don't imagine
Laporta had much of a say in it. Do you want to meet me? Why?
Just to build relations,
Who are you?
Yeah. Well, here's our bank balance. Well, all right, I might as well have a look.
Exactly, yeah. We'll give you a lot of money for meeting us. It'll just take 10 minutes. Just get a photo taken. I won't even want a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Mark Hughes said that the meeting...
You read the Da Vinci Code. It's brilliant. I'll lend it to you.
Yeah.
Mark Hughes said the meeting was not about individuals, but how the clubs can help each other. How can Manchester City... And I don't need to finish that sentence.
It's like me visiting Santa at a grotto. Oh, we're building relations with Santa. I can offer him my... Yeah, sit on his lap.
Offering my arse. A very cheap voiceover.
But we already have a Barcelona B. They are here in Spain.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What? How much club? It says here how much. It's not a meeting about individuals, but how both clubs can help each other.
That's what I'm saying.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, what can they do?
What are you doing here? What do you know about football?
as Gary Cook got over there and go, yeah, some of your players aren't earning ridiculous money as well. Perhaps we can just pay them because we've got loads of money as well.
Just say it's about a player.
I'm just making it up as I go along.
Yeah. Gary Cook needs to just say, we are trying to prize a player from your club for a load of money. Yeah. Will you talk about it? Yeah. Don't make it some sort of old boys rotary club with a chairman at Barcelona because you're not.
Build relations.
If anything, your jib's got even more woeful. There, you're not helping yourself out.
Yeah, it's a glib jib. So I don't. Maybe like Barcelona got the letter through. Man City want to meet us. Surely, well, it'll be a bit of a laugh.
Ding dong.
I mean? Yeah.
Oh, he's here.
I'm sure everybody's aware that very recently Frank Lampard picked up his phone and phoned in a live radio show and wasn't happy with what the presenter was waffling on about. In case people don't understand what it was, I think the presenter was
James O'Brien, was it? Off LBC, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
That's right. He was he pretty much having a pop at him, wasn't he?
Well, pretty much. He was just basically, wasn't he criticising him for not fighting tooth and nail to sort of keep his family together? And didn't he say that people that do that are weak and scum? And that's when Lampard phoned up, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, I think Lampard's really sister offended. Was listening to the show.
And
heard it and said, you know, obviously told
offended
Frank
and rightly
Lampard.
So, though, right?
Yeah, Frank Lampard had him banged to rights.
You've not done your research, one, you're taking it off a tabloid article, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Two, it's the anniversary to the day of his mother's death.
Yeah, yeah.
You think you'd do a little bit of research. He's got production stuff, and there's no excuse, really.
Yeah.
No excuse.
And Lampard phoned in the show and basically said, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, you don't know me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, shut up, you... But he never swore, did Lampard. He was very quite measured, actually. I thought he did very well, and we're all behind him.
Yeah,
we're giving Frank our backing.
Yes. So if you're listening, Frank, which you probably are, because, you know, we regularly big you up on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, yeah.
Is he ringing in? Is the phone ringing or not?
But, I mean, it'd probably be in the system somewhere, in our system, find out his mobile number.
Yeah, yeah. Idea.
But I think with talk radio shows, they've got about 11 stories. They've always got to play devil's advocate on, and they're always going to sound stupid in the call. You know what I mean? They call it a day. To be honest, he's obviously going to have a problem with it, and people are always going to have their opinions and stuff. And I think, you know, Frank Kim comes out very, very well.
I agree. Pete, I know what you mean. I've worked at radio stations as well, but I mean, the thing is, so these people are briefed to actually garner opinions.
Yeah,
to get
exactly.
In, you know, it's happened at Talksport with Jamie Carragher, if you remember that.
Yeah.
I just think, though, to be honest, it just strikes me as a bit cheap. It's a bit cheap. You know,
massively.
It's bad.
It is, yeah, I mean, because
Frank talk Lampard, is cheap. Talk radio is cheap.
Frank Lampard made a very good point, which was that he'd been fighting to save sort of his relationship for the sake of his kids for the past 2 years. The presenter doesn't know that. He's just read a tabloid and he's assumed that this is some sort of overnight decision. I often find this annoying when footballers get criticised for doing things that just do happen to normal people. As we were saying in the last show, we mentioned this in some ways. Like, they are still people. Yeah, they're still people that have the same relationships and the same faults as the rest of us. Just because they earn a lot of money, they you know, they can't act like superheroes. It's
people who just sit here cheaply just taking the piss out of them all the time. It's unbelievable.
Weak and scum.
Like, get a life.
Yeah. I mean, in many ways, it's not really a footballing story. And it's kind of
it's not.
It, in many ways, I think it's worse than the Andrew Sackgate thing. You know what I mean?
I think so, yeah.
He did fuck his granddaughter, didn't he? So.
I mean, the guy doesn't know anything about it. He's taken off a tabloid news story, you know. I just think, at the very least, he should have done his research and realised that, actually, again, it's the anniversary of his mother's death. It's probably the best to leave it alone on this day of all days, you know.
Well, you know, it's a Tory session. He's got to do what's in the newspapers that day, and it's in the newspapers that day. So, you know, it kind of just has a snowballing effect, doesn't it?
It was quite fun to listen to him going, I haven't criticised you, Frank. I haven't done this. It's like, you just did. You're on the radio now. He's got you.
And at the end, he goes, any chance you have a word about the Champions League games next week? And then Lampard goes, no.
didn't he say, most definitely not? Or something like that. He said something a little bit more erudite.
UEFA have got new plans to tackle racism. A new crackdown from Michel Platini has revealed that they will stop play or even abandon matches if fans...
The black player plays.
If they make racist chants. He says, Platini said, we'll call for play to be stopped for 10 minutes. And announcements will be made. And if it continues, then the match will be stopped.
They should send them into Israel. Really,
I mean, yeah. what a diplomatic
masterstroke-thinking dynamic stuff. It's a, you know, thank you, the FA, for stepping in.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're losing 3-0. Oh, you fucking.
Exactly.
Right, we're going to call off the game. Oh, don't. We could regroup in a week's time and have all of our players uninjured.
Yeah.
You fucking...
Unbelievable. How about banning people and clubs from competitions and stopping fans entering the ground, you know, or finding ridiculous amounts of money to stop it? It's all lip service. It's all just lip service.
Yeah. Well, this
marketed
this,
and packaged up in a nice, easy to read.
Well, this came after the Inter Milan striker Mario Balotelli was racially abused by Juventus fans when Inter drew 1-1 with Juve, and he scored Inter's opening. He's only 18, and
he played against United.
He's of Ghanaian descent, but he's an Italian under-21 international. You know, he's born in Italy, obviously, and grew up there.
Fucking morons.
Yeah, it's just idiotic.
I'm going off on a slightly different tangent. He could be the replacement for Adriano because Inter confirmed his exit from the club. And I think Inter have handled this quite well, really.
Yeah.
They came out and said that everyone at Inter would like to give Adriano a warm embrace for his 8 years and 74 goals here.
That'd take ages.
Yeah, it would.
You know, but I admire the Inter for that.
I think Inter have come out of really well. And obviously there's
and
a
Mourinho too.
Yeah, there's a I think there's a clause in place saying obviously you can't sign up for another club without their permission, which is, you know, sensible. But I think, you know, they've actually come out of it with a lot of credit, and they've played, you know, they've played the sensible card there and not being funny about it, because you can think of managers and clubs who would be funny about that sort of thing. Yeah. You know?
So, like we said, to be fair, I think the vast majority of clubs would be.
Oh yeah, you're probably right. Actually.
Twatty about it.
Yeah.
It's not as though we're talking about like a League Two sort of journeyman.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm. You know, valuable player as well.
He's one. If he gets his head right, he'd definitely be one of the most devastating strikers in the world. So
yeah,
it's a big shame, a real big shame.
One man who didn't have his head right was Real Madrid's Pepe.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sent off kicking Cascero in against.
Absolutely nuts.
If you haven't, yeah, if you just haven't crazy. Seen it, check it out, because it's a great bit of YouTube material.
Yeah, YouTube goals.
He pushes him over, like, kind of kicks his leg, then kicks him again, but it's like he's trying to kick his shirt off of his back.
Yeah,
it's really bizarre.
I mean, I saw it and I thought, I kind of wish he'd got a bit more contact on the second kick. Yeah. If you're going to get... How many matches did he get?
Ten matches.
He gets a 10-match ban for sort of grazing the back of some guys. In complete frustration. I wish he just kind of got him... Hit him a bit harder in the side or something. Because it just seemed like a... I don't know. It wouldn't mean it wasn't the most satisfying kick.
No, no, it wasn't.
If you were that angry.
Well, let's hope that he maybe tried to pull out as he was halfway there. Let's give him a benefit of the doubt.
Wait, didn't he do something else afterwards? Did he try to hit
he then attacked some other bloke. And he went off. He got sent off, obviously. And then Real Madrid went straight up the other end and scored. To win 3-2.
In last minute, yeah.
He gave away a penalty, didn't he? Which the striker missed.
Well, the striker missed, you're right.
It was an awful penalty, wasn't it?
It was terrible. Just chipped it straight down the middle, I think, or slightly to the
side. It's like Berbatov's penalty.
Yeah, and they went right down the other end and won the game. It was a peach as well, the goal. And
Higuain, isn't it?
I think he ran back on the pitch. Did Pepe? Well, of course you meant
to don't understand the rules.
Yeah, you meant to go to the changing room. Yeah. And he ran back on. They're like, "I'll give another couple of games."
Looking for another victim.
Well, after the game, he said, "Seeing that video back, it didn't even feel like it was me. If this is what I'm going to turn into, I don't want to play football anymore."
Yeah.
Jesus, calm down,
all right, David Banner. After I finished picking the flesh out of my football boot, I immediately regretted it.
Did you see Juan de Ramos after the game, though? It was like, Pepe was clearly frustrated and he was trying to kick the air. Yes, he was trying to kick air. There was no intention to hit the player.
It's
and,
like the Julio. He was kneeling down trying to eat the grass. That's a Julio-esque joke.
Robbie Fowler's not sniffing the line.
He does it in training all the time.
All
eats the
players eat the grass. We're off to Germany now. We don't often go there, but today's a different day. Because Bayern have sacked Jürgen Klinsmann. Today, it was in the past. Yeah. Recent past.
Depending on when you're listening.
Yeah.
I mean, this could be years from now.
Imagine if it was years from now and they sacked him again for another club. And then people got really
with the same name.
Yeah.
And everything that had happened in this show was somehow relevant again.
Yeah. Not likely. Whoa, it's not relevant now.
They've had a bad run since Christmas of Bayern, and they've lost 7 of their 29 Bundesliga matches.
They've definitely lost 3 of the last 4. They got smashed by Wolfsburg 5-1, didn't they?
Yeah.
So he's gone. And, I mean, they're 3 points off top spotlight.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a funny
He went after the Schalke game where he lost 1-0, didn't he? And it's really close at the top of the Bundesliga, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we had a couple of emails in about this. You know, Wolfsburg are top with 57, Hertha Berlin second, 55, and you've got Munich...
Voronin's on fire for Hertha Berlin, isn't he?
He wants to stay as well.
Yeah.
Ponytail player! Ponytail player! Voronin, the Voronator!
The points are already in, the votes have been counted. But, you know, the consolation there, you'll get an sticker after the show.
Thank you very much.
But Voronin said recently he'd like to go back to Liverpool and then nothing.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
I thought he wanted to stay.
Well, that was about a month ago. And he's probably suddenly just realised, oh, yeah, Torres, Gerrard. I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, I should stay. and then also Hamburger on 54 points. So the top five.
3 points.
Separated by 3 points.
Where are Hoffenheim? Because they were
fourth. They've slipped down to 8th, so they're on 45, which is a real shame. But it was always going to be difficult for a club like that to sustain that kind of.
Well, to be top at their winter break is magnificent stuff.
It is.
Essentially, because they've got a lot of money behind them, isn't it? It's kind of essentially announced them as a force, really.
Yeah. So, Klinsmann's gone.
Apparently the fans never took to Klinsmann. Sorry to cut in.
No, it's fine. I think he's very unorthodox style, Klinsmann. and
live in America.
Well, that didn't help.
Well, not anymore. He lives in Germany now, doesn't he? But he lived in America when he was German manager. They didn't like him then either, did they?
That's right. Well, he's a very different star. I think he's much more into the psychology of football.
Well, I think that Bayern Munich are really a team that need to be playing Champions League football every season. Oh, so yeah. It's a huge gamble by their board.
Absolutely.
They're 3 points off the top with, what, six games left? Yeah,
Maybe with a new manager they might get a bit of a rise. Like,
well, I think that's what he's
maybe that's what he's trying to do, yeah.
I think that's what he's going for. And of course, but Bayern Munich got hammered recently, didn't they, in the Champions League?
Yeah.
Wolves are up. They're going to be in the EPL next season, English Premier League.
Did you see what happened with the pitch invasion?
Absolutely fantastic.
It was majestic. Of my weekend.
I didn't realise that was a Wolves fan for the first sort of 10 seconds of that fracas.
Mm. When he jumped on McCarthy's back. McCarthy, I genuinely thought, was going to deck him.
For the benefit of those of you that didn't see it, including Pete, basically there's a pitch invasion after the game, and this guy, he jumped on McCarthy's back and it's like almost had him in a headlock. And he was shaking him and McCarthy just sort of pushed him off, turned around, just went for him.
He lifted his head up, didn't he? He was ready for it.
McCarthy took a down ordinary. He'd prefer a firm handshake. You know what I mean?
Or just no one on the pitch, you know?
Yeah,
just,
exactly, yeah.
For me, I thought it could have been Roy Keane.
What the bloody hell are you doing?
Stick this up your bollocks.
I didn't rate you as a manager. I didn't rate you as a player.
But Roy's back with Ipswich.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He's got off to a good start as well.
The Tractor Boys.
A win. Tractor Roy's.
Oh, yes.
Good.
High five.
Whoop.
There it is.
That was a genuine high five.
Would have liked a big 10 out of that, but I'll take a 5.
Yeah, take what you can.
Emails, get. You want an email, mate?
Excellent start to the emails. Dear Ramble, my mate is an Arsenal fan but lives in Newcastle, and he bumped into the Pompey side in the gym when the following exchange took place. So this guy's mate said, "Sol, any chance you'll be able to play for us on Wednesday versus Man United? Our defence is hopeless." To which Sol Campbell replied, "Arsenal hasn't given me a call yet." David James then jumped in and said, "That's because you haven't got the legs for the Champions League." To which Kanu jumped in with, "At least he has played in the Champions League." I respect Kanu a lot more now. That's from Guy Pearce.
Are you sure this took place in Newcastle and not Beano Town?
Kanu's won the Champions League, so he can say what he wants.
Yeah, that's right. I don't care.
I love the idea of really high-end footballers' banter. Is that what you say to your mates? Oh, yeah, that chance you missed on Sunday. Oh, he hasn't even played in the Champions League. I love that.
That magnificent clip you sent me of the Manchester United players, Tevez,
Evra and Park. They're really good mates.
It's really weird, isn't it?
Because one of them can speak. It seems that Tevez can't speak any other
English. Any language. I've got friends in Argentina who say that he can't speak Spanish very well.
He's Blanca. Yeah. We know this already.
Yeah. But and then Sunji Park burns his mouth on a birthday cake. And Evra's going, "Oh, you can't kiss the girls now," and he's going, "Oh, it's brilliant."
Yeah, Tevez is going, "What?
Isn't it that Park can speak Spanish, but the three of them don't all speak the same language? Are incredibly good friends. Mental sitcoms, you said, Luke.
Tevez is like Manuel from 40 Towers.
it's like that film with Richard Pryor and, See No Evil.
Oh, yeah, Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Yeah, if Richard Pryor was in that.
Richard Pryor and Gene Simmons.
Margot.
That's a mistake on my part.
Does Park have his own show in Korea then? Because that's what that video looks like.
I think he's absolutely massive out there. Yeah. Mm.
Like Michael Owen's soccer skills, another video you sent me as well this week.
Yeah,
well done, he's 13. Brilliant.
We've got to get this up on the MySpace. It's Michael Owen putting one-on-ones through a 13-year-old's legs who's being coached by Neville Southall. Yeah. And Neville Southall's getting really pissed off.
Michael Owen just going, and Owen scores again. you know when you're a kid and you commentate on yourself as you're playing football in the garden?
Yeah.
Michael Owen probably still does this, if that's anything to go by.
But one of the goals Michael Owen...
he's fluffed it.
Michael Owen scores. One of the goals Michael Owen scores is from about 10 yards out in a full-size goal against a 13-year-old, and he still really pleased with himself.
13-year-old overweight ginger
He makes
keeper.
A couple of saves as well, to be fair, to the 13-year-old.
One of those really good, yeah.
Yeah. Next email. "Hey, mates. First, I wanted to say that it is a lovely little podcast."
He
goes on to say, "My wife bought me a share of myfc.com as a present, and as part owner, I just wanted to make sure that Lukey is not the Luke Moore that plays for the Fleet.
No offence. The fleet or fleet?
That's what he's put, the fleet.
The fleet.
No offence to Lukey, but he doesn't look like the sort of player that would be helping the fleet out of the relegation battle they currently find themselves in. Cheers from Tim in Virginia.
It's not me, no.
No, I don't think that's,
okay. Anyone who's seen me attempt to play football will know it's not me.
Well, that's why he's questioning it.
Yeah, fair
that's
enough.
Why it's quizzical.
It's an accurate quiz.
Is it?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Three attempts at the same word that he got right every time.
It's a hat trick, mate. Well done.
Take that. In a Michael Owen style. Lukey Moore!
Oh, and he gets a word out again! Yeah. Well done, it's two letters.
Four letters.
What's wrong with you two?
No, the one word's got... They're two-letter words.
Quiz has got four letters in it, Marcus.
Said, is it? They're the words you were saying.
I said, is it?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Forgive me. Right. Cut that out for crying out loud.
This is going to be a tough edit.
I've got potential scouts listening to this show for me.
Boy scouts?
Eight. Bums, which you enjoy.
Boom. In your face.
He's been fucking murked in there, Jimbo. Yeah. In his face.
Fucking apart, mate.
Shit.
Call the cops.
I'm a straight man, remember.
Okay. Marcus, have you taken your injections? Because that was lyrical malaria. Blah, 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 blah.
Right, I'm not amused anymore.
Blah.
Okay. Oh, I'm enjoying this week.
Right. Makes a change.
For the first time, mate.
Hello, lads. Just listening to the latest podcast, I was shocked to hear you talking about my dad.
Yeah, you want some more, dear?
We spoke about your dad.
QPR fan with a Mexican sombrero.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He's been wearing that hat for years now, and however mad he may seem, I can assure you that he's not mentally ill. However, a few years ago, it did get all too much for me, and I moved my season ticket to the other end.
I love that. That's brilliant. Where are you, son? Dad, I am on the other side. Of the pitch.
Can you see me, Dad? Because I can see you. He has had the obvious chance of who's the wanker in the hat, but the more intelligent one of, does your doctor know you here?
You're here.
You're here, thank you. Because mine doesn't. It's all a bit of fun. Keep up the good work from Jared.
I don't remember saying he was mentally ill. If I did, I apologise. It's probably a new low for us. Someone emailed him saying, no, my dad's not mentally ill. But no, he's a wonderful man. It's a cracking bit of banter. He's right by the away fans as well. Nice one, free money. I can't believe we actually got a listener who knows about it. It's brilliant.
They responded to something.
We got a real email.
Spawned from it.
Exactly. Next one. G'day, Ramblers. Believe it or not, the Brian Clough film isn't enjoying general distribution in Australia. Maybe if it was a film about beer swilling pig shooters or a girl bashing rugby league player, it would do better. His words, not mine. I can only hope the Carlos Valderrama and Carlos Tevez biopics get general release. Which player manager deserves their life story to be made into a film? Stay classy, Willie in Sydney by way of Northern Ireland. That's regular email.
Which player manager? You're narrowing it down a lot.
Can I have Nick Jarvis from Striker? He got his leg bitten off by a shark.
It's already a newspaper column, mate.
Yeah, I suppose.
Screenplay's already done, isn't it?
Make a little flick book.
Yeah. Why has he said player manager? Can't it just be a player or a manager?
Well, no. He's laid down the criteria, Luke, and it's up to us to write.
Okay, I'm going
to
go for 2002 Chris Coleman.
Then. Really, I was thinking of a 90s Stuart Pearce.
Yeah.
If I lived in Glenn Hoddle's head, I would say Glenn Hoddle.
Vialli.
Yeah, Vialli's a good shout.
Gareth Southgate.
We're just naming player managers, aren't we?
Yes, yes we are. Oh, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. It's my bit now, where I fill you in on the hilarious goings-on of football around the world.
Hang on a minute, that's the wrong jingle.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
We only had one jingle last time, remember?
Okay.
It kind of
I can't keep up with your jingle marathon.
It bookends the emails.
Jingle jangle.
Right. Okay, we're only going as far as Liverpool for this one, right? Oh. A gold-plated mobile phone is set to become the prime object of desire for Liverpool fans at a price of £14,490.
When you say Liverpool fans, you mean Liverpool players?
Yeah, absolutely. Soccer legend Ian Rush is fronting the exclusive limited edition mobile phone launched by telecom company Galentia in association with Liverpool Football Club.
I've never even heard of that telephone provider.
No. Only 250 limited edition mobile phones have been produced, each encased in either 18-carat yellow or 18-carat rose gold. At the bottom of the sapphire crystal screen, Liverpool FC is engraved.
Can I get it on orange or not?
I doubt it. Commemorating Liverpool FC's league titles are 18 diamonds on the phone's back panel. Each carry VVS quality status and mark the sheer brilliance of the players who have made Liverpool one of the most successful clubs the world has ever seen. And it carries on, this guff. The mobile phone will be presented in a North African black walnut box lined with red velvet. Blah, 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 blah,
who
blah,
keeps
blah,
their
blah,
phone
blah,
in the
blah,
fucking
for
box.
Ages. Basically, I can kind of, I can rephrase all this and just sort of give you some of the quotes from the Liverpool FC commercial director. And what he said is, nothing, 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 yeah. Nothing, nothing, nothing,
red
for ages.
Box.
Yeah, essentially.
For ages.
I just like that they've picked the
15
least...
15 grand, Pete!
They thought, we want the player with style and sort of vigour... We'll get Ian Rush.
I forgot to mention...
Who perfectly encapsulates this brand of luxury icon?
I forgot to mention that Ian Rush designed it.
Mika from the Muppets designed it.
14 grand. I'd accept really give him come around and give me a blow for that.
Yeah.
And
who maybe they weren't sort of... Maybe they were just trying to get him to do an affordable phone, but he just went mental. Yeah. And they just didn't have the heart to sort of turn it down at the end of it.
Can you do something that represents you as a striker? A budget. But a very effective mobile phone. I've added gold!
Who says
the diamonds!
Who says that football's gone, disappeared up its own arse and has left a humble support behind? Eh? Not I!
No.
Right.
I've wrapped this phone in 14 carat idiocy.
I'm so very sad.
It's a bit heavy, though.
And lonely.
Yeah, well, you think
you've got to keep
heavy.
It in a box. Oh, no point ringing it.
But the box is really light, so it's okay to carry
it. It was on silent. Did you not have it on vibrate? Yeah. Why didn't you answer then? It was in a fucking chestnut box.
A North African walnut chestnut box.
Maybe to be precise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right, yeah. We're going to France now. For just... If you think this was pointless, Jesus... Right. Orange broadcasted the first ever football match in 3D for a select few last weekend when Lyon took on Paris Saint-Germain at the Stade Gerland. Screens were set up inside the Gerland and at the Parc des Princes for invited guests to check out the latest step in the burgeoning romance between football and technology. For the first time in Europe, Orange will deploy special equipment to produce a football match live and in 3D, including 6 stereoscopic cameras, a standalone production bus and specialised 3D teams. This operation will be run in conjunction with the Professional Football League, LFP and HBS, executive producer of the French League One. Right, now, what I have to inform you, boys, is that you could only watch it in 3D if you were at the game on the screens, which would have meant you wouldn't have been watching the actual game.
Which is in 3D, presumably.
Place in 3D in front of you.
I'm so very
fucking hell!
I'm so very confused.
I'm scared that 3D's coming back, because Keane recently did a game.
No, you live in 3D. It's not coming back, it's never gone. It's
but those horrible red and green glasses you got to wear and stuff, just the Keane did a recent gig. Them in stereoscopic vision. I sort of think, who wants his fucking face?
The one thing the main problem I've got with watching Keane in concert is not that it's not in 3D vision, it's that it's
on.
Actually in sound.
You can hear it, yeah.
It's all pointless, really.
It's just what a waste of time and money. Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things that are never actually going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Peter Ridsdale said to be interested. So.
Right, this is another one. This one's just sad, really. This is more about bureaucracy. This one isn't even funny. FIFA has secured its first ruling against ambush marketers, earning a court judgment against Pretoria's Eastwoods Tavern. The popular sports bar is located close to the Loftus Stadium in South Africa, one of the venues which will host games during next year's Soccer World Cup tournament. Eastwoods Tavern has carried the legend World Cup 2010 below the main signage on its roof. FIFA, working through intellectual property law firm Spore and Fisher, obtained a judgment with cost against Eastwoods. The judgment is timely, coming 2 months before the Confederations Cup tournament, the dress rehearsal for the 2010 World Cup, and just over a year before the main tournament itself. Says Dr. Owen Dean, a partner at Spore and Fisher. It sends out a clear signal to any other organisation considering ambush marketing that they will suffer untoward consequences. FIFA has shown that it has an effective game plan for taking on ambush marketers, and that it has the will, the team and the wherewithal to prevent ambush marketing. Jeez, lighten up.
Yeah. Let's kick ambush marketing.
Some words.
Ambush marketing is no laughing matter.
Well, we've learnt one thing from that story. I'll fight him. Send them
Someone
over.
Someone should.
There's, them. Just, yeah. Look, there's bound to be more of them.
I mean, you know, you don't want people sort of
doing knock-off merchandise and stuff like that. But that is ridiculous. That is just a waste of time. It's a bar with some words on it.
Yeah. Where they going to draw the line, though, to you can't even have a place that's got the words World or Cup in it?
Excuse me, children, are you professional footballers? You're going to have to stop playing this game. It's an infringement on FIFA's rights.
Well, what is just a humble game of Knockout Wembley to you is actually a case, clearly, of ambush marketing.
Anybody could see this.
Is that a David Beckham-style haircut?
I would say, if it were me, I'm from a town full of cunts and you're making me fucking homesick. That's what I would say. What a moral detritus.
Hey? Ladies and gentlemen, it's player profile time. And I thought we would do the winner of the PFA Awards. It's Ryan Joseph Giggs, OBE.
Oh, come on.
Don't clap, Giggs. But he's not in yet.
Yeah, I'm just clapping
him. A little
bit
of appreciation for that.
Fair enough, yeah.
Hey. He's a legend.
Exactly. Legend. One of four players that have played in every season of the Premier League.
Nicky Butt, Sol Campbell, David James.
Nicky Butt's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah. He only played one game in his first season.
But it counts.
Still counts. It's in there. Yeah. Chalk it up.
That's right, yeah. Ryan Giggs, he was obviously born in Wales, but when he was 6 years old, he moved to Manchester. Interestingly enough, it's worth to note that Giggs is actually mixed race, because his grandfather is from the Sierra Leone, and he has spoken of racism he faced as a child.
That's incredible, isn't it?
You never think of him as being anything other than white.
I'd heard that he was mixed race, but I just thought, is that just made up?
It's weird about people's perceptions, isn't it?
Yeah. After moving to Manchester, Giggs played for a local team called Dean's FC, who were coached by a Manchester City scout called Dennis Schofield. And he recommended Giggs to Man City, and he was signed to the City School of Excellence.
Okay.
He continued to... Giggs was also playing for Salford Boys. So while he was playing for Dean's FC, Giggs was regularly watched by an Old Trafford steward called Harold Wood.
Sounds a bit sinister, that.
It's nothing vicious.
And Wood would tell the senior staff at Manchester United about Giggs all the time. But nothing happened until Wood managed to speak personally to Alex Ferguson. And so Ferguson sent a scout to watch Giggs play. And the scout was so impressed by Giggs that he was offered a trial. And nearly a year later, Giggs, on his 14th birthday, Ferguson turned up at his house with the scout and offered him 2 years on schoolboy forms.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad birthday.
Exactly. So Giggs also represented England at schoolboy level. Now, this is often where the confusion lies. Mm. People say, oh, Giggs could have played for England. No, he couldn't have played for England.
Yeah.
He played at England schoolboy level.
Statistically, some of you will have said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. So,
and we're never wrong.
No.
Except when we cut those bits out.
Apart from a couple of times.
Sometimes we don't.
And we've been caught out.
We've done it many times tonight already.
Yeah. Laurie McMenemy was coach of the England under 21 team at the time, and he checked to see whether Giggs was eligible to play for England, but he wasn't. That's where it stopped there. Yeah,
so leave it.
Exactly.
Even if you could go back, which you can't.
And he became a first-team regular in the 91-92 season. Although he was still involved in the youth setup as well, and they won the FA Youth Cup in 1992. He played up front with Robbie Savage in that team.
OK.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew Savage was at United. Yeah.
Robbie Savage always goes on about that team, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, it's that's like his Champions
League. It didn't really get any better.
Well, look where they both are now, James.
Yeah.
One's on top of the Premier.
That's exactly what I'm implying.
Yeah. So, by the start of the 92-93 season, Giggs was very much established as United's first-choice left-winger. But Ferguson was very protective of him and refused to allow Giggs to be interviewed until he turned 20 years old. It's definitely worth...
Now he's refusing to be interviewed himself, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Giggs, I mean... I kind of, in a weird way, forgot this, but he really was the first kind of a new...
Poster boy of the Premier League.
Yeah,
wasn't
a new
he?
Era, yeah, a real superstar.
Yeah.
He was massive. I remember I think I've said it before, in my school library, the only sort of interesting books, apart from the Asterix books, was like a picture book of Ryan Giggs. And it was him going, hello, I'm Ryan Giggs. And there was a really, really close-up picture of his feet. And I remember looking at his toes and going, God, they're hairy toes. And so I always associated Ryan Giggs with having very hairy...
A delightful insight into the mind of a complete maniac.
And years later, we found out that he had a very hairy chest.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's a friend of the show, Giggs, lest we forget.
Yeah, he is.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm Ryan Giggs and you're listening to the Football Ramble. You remember that? Because I do.
He only sounded so sad because, you know, he wasn't in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame yet. But I'm sure he'd be delighted if we catch up with him again.
Ex-boyfriend of Danny Bear as well.
You're right. He was a proper pin-up, wasn't he? Like, I remember teenage girls loved him at the time. Like, he was a real sort of, like, proper kind of celebrity.
Teenage boys with pervy on his toes. Weren't they?
So you really put one in my mouth.
Yeah. He had admirers from all corners.
Can I touch your toes?
Strange Geordie men looking at his toes. Man-child. A man-child, as he was then.
He also had his own television show.
Rather than
show.
A child man, as you are now.
He also had his own television show, Ryan Giggs Soccer Skills, which was around 94, I think. But
I that was good.
He was huge, as you say. He was the kind of the real kind of...
Beckham-esque, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Oh, it's Beckham before Beckham, as you said, Marcus.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it was a real new era for football. It was suddenly that he was the first kind of, if you like, glamorous player for a little while, I think. And as you sort of said, Pete, you know, all these picture books and pin-ups, the girls loved him as well.
He was always in the Shoot magazine posters of him.
Match.
Like that. Yeah, Match. Mm.
So, absolutely was. And he won Young Player of the Year a couple of times, PFA Young Player of the Year. He was also, for me, a part of that magnificent... Well, not for me, he was a part of that magnificent four midfield of...
But, you know, I think I speak for all of us when it felt like it was personal to you.
Yes, absolutely. You could identify with at least one of them.
You could sit your neck out and say that's probably, arguably, the best midfield in Premier League history, you know?
Yeah, possibly. And, of course, they won the treble in the 99 season because he's never played for any other club. So he was definitely still there.
Yeah.
And scored that magnificent goal against Arsenal.
Didn't he?
That what year was that?
99,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, was it that long ago?
That's when we saw his hairy chest.
Oh, okay, right.
Thing of beauty.
No, I think what I remember Giggs as being a really devastating. I mean, people were talking about him as the next George Best, all sorts of things like that as well. Yeah. And he used to terrorise defences, in his pomp. And whilst he's lost a bit of his pace now, I really admire the way he's adapting himself as a player to be more of a creative, sort of thinking man's player.
Well, he was always a very intelligent player, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a sign of a real, real good footballer's brain. That you can do that when you've sort of not got the pace you once did.
You have to adapt, don't you?
And absolutely.
I think it's really nice to see because he used to just be a flat out pace man on the wing and whip accurate crosses in, but he's got more to his game than that. And I think that's probably a secret to his longevity and the fact that he's looked after himself well, stuff like that as well. And he really has at club level won everything the game's had to offer. I mean, many times over, hasn't he? So.
And there was a long period of time when England in particular didn't have a left winger at all.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, if only.
Yeah. That's probably when those things come about being able to play for England and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, even recently when there was talk of a Great Britain team for the Olympics, like the Sun put together a team, which was just England with Giggs on the left. Like, this team wouldn't be eligible for like a million different reasons, but just imagine it.
But it was funny, wasn't it, when United had so many young players come through after him with talks about Beckham and Scholes
and the Nevilles and
Butt and so on.
Because Giggs was well established by that point, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So it made him seem a lot older than he was.
He was only really a season, really, in front of those guys. But very quickly, at a very young age, he became almost like one of the senior players.
Yeah.
One of the experienced guys, you know. And he was when he was 28 years old, because he'd been so, in 2002, when he'd been around for so long, people thought, well, he's probably knocking on for retirement. He'd been around for that. I mean, he'd been around for 11 years, 17. Do you remember, you talked about, George Best, so do you remember that advert he was in, the Reebok advert?
Yeah.
And the greatest team in the world. And Giggs, he'd be in it, and he'd be in Reebok boots. Remember that one?
They doctored it
when it was him, Charlton, and Dennis Law.
Yeah, Law's
involved.
There was also another one he did where he went to a girl out for a date, so they get a new pair of Reebok boots.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember that one? And the other one was Schmeichel being a pig farmer and stuff.
Yeah,
that was
also
good, yeah.
Oh, that's right. He scored over 100 league goals for Manchester United, and he's the only player to have scored in every single year the Premiership's been going, which is an incredible...
Well, you can't argue that, really, can you?
No. Well, because it's a fact. Giggs broke Bobby Charlton's appearance record for United when he came on in the Champions League final against Chelsea. That's a time to break a record, isn't it?
Do you reckon he gave Bobby Charlton a wink in the gun in the crowd as he came on?
I can only...
This will test you.
He joined an elite little group with Steve McManaman and Owen Hargreaves in becoming the only British players to have played in and won more than Champions...
Won one Champions League
final. Champions League final.
Mm.
Mm. So, but as you said, Luke, nowadays he plays in a more deeper midfield role. He's obviously not got the explosive pace, but as you see, again, he's adapted very well to that.
Yeah.
He's been taking his coaching badges as Giggs, and Ferguson has hinted that he would like Giggs to serve in the coaching staff after he retires.
Mm. I wonder how you hint that.
Sorry?
I wonder how you hint that.
Yeah. What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Yeah. We'll ask Ryan next season what he thinks of the youth setup thing.
Has he hint at it? Oh, well, I think you'd be a good coach, wouldn't you?
And maybe you should do your badges.
And you like Manchester United, don't you?
Mm. Well, move on to his international career.
Did he win the World Cup?
He never won the World Cup, and he never even came remotely close to such a feat. He
such
played.
A feat. Leave his feet out of it.
You get me off frothy.
Such a hairy feat. He's played 64 times for Wales and scored 12 goals. He used to get a bit of criticism for not playing for Wales, because remember he went years without playing a friendly.
Yes. Right, yeah. It was. How many years was it? Do you know? Because it was ridiculous, wasn't it? Was it about 7 years?
Or 9 years.
9 years.
I think I'll refrain from saying that it was poor form, because this is the profile and he's coming into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame and we thank him for it. But ordinarily, I'll be having a pop right now.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
So what did he say? He just said he wasn't going to play.
I think Ferguson was a little bit overprotective, I think Ryan Giggs probably wasn't that bothered.
He hinted that he might have a knock. Yeah. He can't play, why not?
If he plays, he might then get a knock afterwards.
Yeah. Exactly.
But in recent years, Giggs, and this again adds to his magnificent character, has become a UNICEF representative and launching a campaign in 2002 to prevent landmines from killing children.
Nothing funny about that.
No.
So,
I think that's a magnificent thing, and well done to him. So, am I right in saying he's won 10 Premier Leagues, 4 FA Cups, 3 League Cups, 7 Charity Shields, 2 Champions Leagues, a Super Cup, an Intercontinental Cup, and a World Club Cup?
Do you know what the most impressive
Not
thing
bad.
Is? 7 Charity Shields.
Yeah, do you know? Only David Nugent is more decorated.
Sorry.
Yeah, you heard me.
Utterly irrelevant.
the Nuge is always relevant.
Anyway, I shall end with a quote. This was in an article by BBC Sport. It says, in the early 1990s, Giggs was David Beckham, before Beckham was even holding down a place in the United first team. If you put his face on the cover of a football magazine, it guaranteed you the biggest sales of the year. Why? Men would want to buy it to read about the new best, and girls bought it because they wanted his face all over their bedroom walls. Giggs had a multi-million pound boot deal, lucrative sponsorship deals in the Far East, and the celebrity girlfriends, at a time when David Beckham was being sent on loan to Preston North End. Ryan Giggs, in you come. And as you come in, you can take your shirt off. All right.
Well done, Giggsy.
Well, that's all we have time for, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you want to get in contact with us, our email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. We have a myspace.com/footballramble, a group on Facebook, so join it.
And a fan page.
Yeah, all that business.
Yeah, and you should have joined. It should have worked out all right, the old iTunes podcast provider changeover. But if you hear of anyone who's having any trouble, don't let them fall along the wayside. Get them to thefootballramble.com.
Exactly. Which is our website.
Yeah.
And we're on Last FM.
And all that stuff.
And Twitter and all that.
Twitter.
You
lot.
Name it on dem internet and we're on.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye, I'll ring you later.
Goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye now.
We're all off to form relations with Barcelona. Cheers.
Giggsy Rambo, Giggsy Rambo.
Well done, Pete. Well done, Marcus. Well done, James.
James, what are you doing? We just...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.